Hello and welcome to The Truth About Public Sector. This is a podcast about all the interesting things that happen within the public sector from different departments, but primarily from a procurement and commercial function, demystifying what it is our procurement commercial function professionals do across our nation. In this episode of The Truth About Public Sector, we sit down with Andrew Russell, who is the Assistant Director for Procurement at Stonewater and is a passionate advocate for career development in procurement. Andrew's going to show his journey through the public sector, the importance of going back to basics, how to self-initiate learning, which is so important as we know, and how that has shaped his leadership style. We're also going to explore the dynamic commercial procurement team at Stonewater and uncover how strategic sourcing and supplier engagement are driving real impact in housing and sustainability. So hi, Andrew. It is lovely to have you on the podcast.
Morning, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to get stuck in to what we're going to be discussing today. Because I know we've had conversations previously about your experience and your journey into procurement and what that looks like, and a little bit about Stonewater as well, because the organisation you're working in at the moment is doing amazing things, of course. But I suppose we should start with you, who you are, and your career journey into procurement.
Yeah, absolutely. So As you introduced, I'm the Assistant Director for Procurement at Stonewater. I have worked for Stonewater for the last 6.5 years and in the housing sector for the last 10 years. I came into procurement, I've heard numerous conversations like this over the years about people falling into procurement, and I'm no different. I was attempting to be a teacher many moons ago and that didn't work out. So I took a temporary job in a purchasing department and fell in love with purchasing and procurement subsequently. Then got an opportunity a few months down the line to join another housing association. So therefore completing my journey into the public sector. And I've loved it. I'm, as I say, 10 years into it. I've, you know, thoroughly enjoyed my time, enjoyed the challenges every day that it brings, and can't see myself moving on beyond it for the long term. Definitely not.
It's really interesting, isn't it, how people fall into procurement and then fall in love with it, and that becomes their career path. Whereas now people are going to university and doing degrees in supply chain and procurement, which is fascinating, that shift in how we look at that career and that focus into it. What would you say were the pivotal moments, or, you know, the decisions that shaped your path, particularly in becoming an assistant director? Because you've worked hard to get to this position.
I think for me, it was actually joining Stonewater, I think, was probably the main catalyst for me getting to where I've got in my career. I was, as I alluded to, at another housing association for 3.5 years prior to joining Stonewater. And I think at that point, as much as I enjoyed the job, I think I'd plateaued and felt a bit comfortable and a bit safe in the role. So the change to Stonewater was needed. The first 6 months or so were a bit of a culture shock, a bit of a surprise as just how much was there and how much work was needed to be done. But I just rolled up my sleeves, got on with it, and really got involved in everything that I could. I think it was very much about increasing the brand of procurement within the organisation, increasing our exposure, getting people engaged more with us rather than as a last resort or when there were going to be challenges from a governance and regulatory perspective. So that was exciting in itself, just to try and get people engaged with procurement. Mm-hmm. And I think to the assistant director point, I think another pivotal moment was at a point of think about it was towards the end of 2020. I was considering my position at Stonewater at the time, being completely honest, and I was looking at other opportunities, but then got a call from the then head of procurement at the time, basically saying, look, don't, you know, just hold on a bit longer. And 2 days later, he resigned and recommended me for the role, and the rest of the day is history. And I've been very fortunate in the support I've had in the organisation to develop myself, to develop teams, to establish processes and a culture around procurement that's kind of led to us where we are today. We've made huge strides in the last, certainly the last 4 years. And yeah, I couldn't be happier really with where we're at.
Brilliant. And it's that career path and that self-determination and self-motivation that's quite inspiring, because obviously, to anybody that works in procurement, there are qualifications that you do. You know, you do your SIPs, you do your MSIPs, some people go on to do FSIPs and further, or you've got those supply chain degrees previously mentioned. But in your career, you've done so much self-development and self-initiated learning. It's really supported that career path. So what did that look like for you in practice?
In terms of that self-initiated learning, I've always had a love for knowledge and information. I mean, I'm, outside of work, I'm an avid pub quizzer. I love quizzes. I love knowledge and information. And I think there's a lot about procurement that kind of chimes with that, and learning lots about, as I say, procurement and supply chain and so on, that really kind of ticks all the boxes for me. So I've been always been motivated to learn more because of the interest in the vocation I chose. Mm. I think when I was first in procurement teams, a lot of the learning was based on being in an office environment, listening to conversations, listening to how other people were talking about procurement. And I just became a bit of a sponge to kind of take on this knowledge, either ask questions of the people who I overheard, or I'd just go away and research it. And that kind of has always been my way of learning as I go. I obviously have followed the SIPs route and various other sort of more theoretical approaches, but at the heart of it, it is just a pure interest in procurement and in what I do and in how it can benefit communities and people across the country effectively.
And that's so, that is a really important self skill to have, because I think when I speak to procurement professionals nationally, regardless of the level, the best procurement professionals are, you know, the professional word would be inquisitive. They want to partner with the business. They want to learn more about each directorate and what they're doing. And they want to learn about different ways to solutionize those procurements to fit that space. I would loosely refer to it as nosy. I think the best procurement people always want to know what's going on. And so it's completely. That kind of skill set that really meets it well. What habits or resources or routines do you utilize that help you stay sharp and informed?
I think maybe I'm slightly different to some in the profession or in other professions, is I'm not one who subscribes massively to those types of habits and routines. I think it's one of those where, because I've got an interest in it, I learn what I learn, when I learn, how I learn, if that makes sense. So I will see an article one day and I'll read it and go, oh, that's interesting. Then I'll read further around it. I don't tend to do it as a routine thing. It tends to be quite spur of the moment if I see it. At the same time, I'm always looking out for articles. LinkedIn is the main one I would use at the moment in terms of looking at how other professionals within the public sector or the wider sectors associated with procurement, how they do it. Concepts that aren't always used within the public sector, it's always good to look at them, see how they could be applied. But at the same time, at the heart of that is just I'm keen to learn, and I just like to learn and like to know how things are done, what things are, what certain things mean, and so on. And that's always been the case with me in whatever I've read, whatever I've done, work and in my personal life. So I wouldn't say I've got routines. I've just got that innate desire to want to learn more, and that kind of shapes how I go about my day-to-day life, I suppose, in procurement.
It's a really holistic way of looking at it. And I think that is for somebody who's naturally self-motivated and naturally inquisitive, that holistic learning, that constant learning just comes to you. It's just part of who you are. As a leader, working with so many different personalities within your team, how do you encourage that culture of continuous learning?
I think a lot of it is down to just talking. Communication is absolutely key in terms of how people digest learning, how people kind of put it out there and apply theory into practice. So what I try to do with my team especially is that we talk a lot about concepts, about ideas, about things that people have seen, read, experienced, and so on. And that kind of shapes how people develop, and that's certainly been the case for the teams that I've had over the last 4 years. I think as well, the key thing for me with continuous learning is that, you know, everybody learns differently. It's recognizing that everybody learns in a very, very different way. A good example being at the moment, we're trying to get our heads around the assessment summary process under the Procurement Act. And that's a minefield in itself. We've been talking to the lawyers a lot in recent times to make sure that we do it correctly. But what I've instilled into my team is that, yes, we're all going to get to the same point of learning how it plays. We're going to have a framework for how we do them. But each of them is going to arrive at it in a different way and understand it differently. And that's based on learning styles. That's based on experience within procurement, experience within public sector, and so on. So I've encouraged them all to approach the lawyers individually rather than as a collective, get their own feedback on their own work, and then they will learn in a way that's suitable for them. We'll bring it all together at the end and discuss it as a team, and there might be a more kind of centralized learning method that we can apply there. But certainly it's about recognizing that just because somebody else is better at, you know, getting a long list of feedback in writing and that's how they learn, others might want to hear it, have that dialogue with lawyers or whoever it might be, and they learn better that way. So it is about just, it's communication, but it's also recognizing how each member of my team learns, how each member of my team processes information and works accordingly. And that's how I've always tried to instill it for the whole time I've been managing everybody.
I love that for so many reasons, but most importantly, I love that because diversity, equity and inclusion in procurement is so key. And what you've summarised there is a perfect illustration of recognising the individual within a team and the part they have to play and the strength that that brings to the whole by allowing them to learn in their own way and to learn in a way that makes them a better procurement professional. It's very rare within public sector, not-for-profit, housing, that procurement and commercial teams are given that space to learn in their own manner. I've been speaking a lot recently to senior procurement professionals about how do they invigorate their own learning, how do they go through when there's change in legislation, when there's change in a business, how do they process that change and then communicate it out so that it lands as a wider partner to the business. And we've got loads of transformations going on at the moment. There's digital transformations, there's complex procurement frameworks, there's the Procurement Act. A lot of people have said to me that they go back to basics. You know, is that a phrase that resonates to you, and what would that mean to you?
Completely. I think everybody has to start from the ground up. There's no point in applying complex theory from the outset because it's very easy for things to get lost in translation, for things not to quite work as well as they should. So going back to basics for me absolutely is the way to go. And for my team, it's a lot of it is about listening and making sure that we understand exactly what people are looking for us to do. Because as a support service, we are there essentially to take the needs of our stakeholders and the wider business and make them happen in whatever way that is, whether that's a commercially led decision, whether that's an improvement of service, whether that's fostering value add through social value and sustainability. You know, it's about listening and making sure that we're asking the right questions of our stakeholders. It's, immersing yourself in conversation about the subject. And it's difficult when we're generalists. So my team and I are all generalist buyers, if you like, in terms of our procurement backgrounds. So it's hard to completely immerse yourself in each project because there's so many nuances and complexities to each one that it is very, very difficult to capture all of them. But I think by developing that basic instinct of listening and asking the right questions, you learn better that way. And I think it's also important, I've always encouraged my teams as well, to develop a little bit of subject knowledge on everything they procure. So don't just take it as a whatever your stakeholder says, that's what I do. You ask questions, as I say, you look into it a little bit more, because if you understand the markets better, you can advise better on the ways to go about it, whether that's looking at commercial mechanisms, whether that's looking at the way you ask a question of a supplier to justify the qualitative part of the assessment. And again, it's starting small and layering up. You can add complexity as you go. I think everybody in my team, and I would assume in all public sector institutions, will understand how to use these complex frameworks, the digital transformation aspects that are coming in, but it's knowing when to put them in. So you start from the very foundations of everything. It's a bit of a pun working in housing, but you know, you build your foundations and then you work up from there. And I think that's really important for me, is don't go too big too soon. It's about start small, layer up, and you'll get to the outcome that you and your stakeholders want fundamentally.
It's a pun in housing, but it's absolutely accurate and true. If you haven't got a stable foundation to your procurement, to your understanding, if your specification isn't watertight in terms of what the organisation needs, what your stakeholder needs, what your tenants or patients or community need, then that procurement isn't going to stand up. It's not going to deliver what you want it to. It's going to be impossible to key performance, regulate, and then the contract's going to fall down at the back end of the process because you have to start at that very beginning. We've spoken a little bit about your team at Stonewater. What stands out about their approach for you?
Well, I think the main thing for me, and it's something I've always been really proud of in terms of how we go about it, is we are authentic. It's an authentic team who are committed and honest when delivering what they need to. I mean, I think by our own admission, we're probably not the most commercially centric procurement team that's out there. We are good and we know our stuff. There's always room to improve, but certainly what we are is we care about the organization, we care about doing the best by our customer base, and we are very, very honest with our stakeholders in terms of what is achievable, how it's achievable, and we'll always work to find something that works for them. I think as anybody who works in the public sector knows, the regulations that kind of underpin what we do, whether that be the public contracts regulations or the Procurement Act now, they are quite arbitrary in some senses, and they do make it difficult for us to be flexible and to accommodate the needs of our stakeholders as much as maybe they want. But I think with my team, and it's been highlighted by colleagues within Stonewater, is that we do always try to find a solution where we can, whether that's across a proactive or reactive basis. We will always find something and help out and deliver something that's better. And we always work to the mantra that we take whatever we receive from the business, when we give it back to them, it's better. And whatever better means, that could be better cost drivers, better cost levers. It could be improvements on the service. It could be, as I say, more value add. It could just be that we've got a supplier now that gets Stonewater, gets what we are, gets what we want. And very little else has changed. You've just got a different party delivering the requirement. So that's always been the case for us, is just to make sure that whatever we give back is better than what we received at the start.
And that's so important, because I think that, and I feel at this point, it always comes up, the procurement police always comes up, and every procurement professional that I speak to has moved on from that decade, 20 year ago even, perception that procurement is just here to say no. It's just here to mandate how I do something. It isn't. It's a partner. And so collaboration within procurement is so important. Can't stress that enough. In organisations like Stonewater, how does collaboration drive better outcomes for your communities and your customers?
I think with collaboration, particularly in an organisation like Stonewater, which has a very sort of diverse customer base, but also a very diverse colleague base with various teams and various levels of expertise and experience, I think collaboration is really important, because you need to tap into expertise from everywhere in the business. We in procurement have our own knowledge, skills, experience that we can use, but that will only get us so far. I think recognizing the strengths of our colleagues in terms of what they do, not just in terms of those that maybe manage contracts or oversee suppliers, but recognizing people who look at things like safeguarding or health and safety or data protection, which might not be key operational drivers of a contract, but are still important based on our own strategic direction and the safeguarding protection of our customers. So for us in procurement, we have a very unique position. We are holistic, slightly omnipotent, I suppose, within the organisation, in the sense that we see everything. I think people don't recognise quite how much procurement can see within an organisation. And therefore, we can pinpoint the right people who can come in and enhance projects. So it's recognising that, talking to our stakeholders about it, and saying, well, have you thought about this person? This person could bring this in, and knowing what that person can bring can really enhance what comes out of this contract. So Yeah, and again, customer insights, customer engagement is hugely important as well. It's something that my team have really tried to push harder on over the last couple of years, is recognizing that there are some limitations to what customers can input in terms of a procurement exercise, but in terms of the service that they want to see, the service they want to be paying for, or that they have to pay for in some cases, we have to listen to what they want. We have to recognize that, and we have to involve them in the decision-making process so they don't feel disenfranchised from what we're doing, the us and them culture that maybe sometimes still exists in housing and in other public sector organizations, is saying, well, you're just telling us by diktat, you're just telling us how we should have our services. And I think for us, it's recognizing that we need to bring customers on the journey too, and that forms part of that wider collaboration piece that we're really trying to push. So to summarize that, I've kind of jumped around a bit, but for me, collaboration is recognizing the skills and the expertise and passion of your colleagues, but also the importance of your customers and where they can be involved and integrated into procurement, because both are very, very important to getting better services and the like going forwards.
Absolutely right. The stakeholder and the customer voice in procurement is often really difficult to capture, but really mandatory to do. And I think it always comes down to time. I think when procurements are thoughtful and people are engaged, they do take longer. They take longer to process and put through. But that's what being a social value, a sustainable procurement orientated organisation is. It's about taking that into account. We are going to have to move on because I'm conscious of time. I've got so many other questions I could ask you, but there's two that I really, really want to get to. So first of all, it is about that social value, that sustainability. So how do you balance commercial strategy and cost efficiency with social value and sustainability goals? Because it's hard.
It is, absolutely. I think the key thing for me is something that we're really trying to leverage off the back of the Procurement Act is using that early market engagement strategy. So recognizing that organisations have a very clear conscience, on both social value and sustainability, and it's about tapping into that. But then it's about recognising, how do we need to put that out there? How does that then need to translate into tenders, contracts and the like? So we're looking to leverage the preliminary market engagement notices and that sort of better early market strategy within the Act to drive through Stonewater's vision for social value and sustainability and how we can embed that into our contracts. I think it's important, and we have these conversations internally a lot, about recognising that both social value and sustainability may at the upfront cost more and put a bit more strain on budgets in the first couple of years of a contract, but have so much potential to save an organisation money in the long term and customers in the long term. So it is just, again, about emphasising the need for those items to be included in tenders. I mean, at the moment, we include both social value and sustainability questions in tenders. We're looking over the next couple of years, particularly around Stonewater's sustainable procurement policy, to push that envelope a little bit more, to have a little bit more emphasis on both of those areas, so then they can translate better into contracts, so they can be more prominent for our contract managers to use and to talk to suppliers about. Because as I said at the beginning of the answer, a lot of suppliers that we talk to, a lot of contractors we talk to, really want to do this. They're geared up for it. The larger companies especially have got dedicated teams in both areas that are really keen to push that. It's about tapping into it and making sure we use it properly. So those are the main things I would say. And then the final bit is obviously to make sure that your contracts, your KPIs within contracts, have good solid metrics that we can track, that we can use, that we can really push through. I mean, we have a very kind of prominent stance on ESG and how that affects our funding, and we really push through on social value and how that can be achieved in contracts. And through the last couple of years, we've really tried to enhance KPIs and metrics within contracts to show how well they're being captured and to make sure they're being captured properly across the organization. So I'd say those are probably the main things. Obviously there's loads of other ways that you can do it, but they're kind of the main ones we're tapping into at the moment.
Yes, and where I see the Social Value Act in, you know, in tenders, in requests for submissions, where we see it, and there are, you know, guidelines around what the organisation wants, when the stakeholder is really clear that our values and our ethics are driven towards this element. So ESG is really pivotal to us. Net zero is really pivotal to us. We want to, every pound that we spend, we want it to go back into our community, whatever that might be. Where those requirements are really clear, suppliers can and do deliver much better social value or additional value to contracts. And the KPIs, the metrics, however you want to term it, are so much more recordable from a data perspective, from a financial perspective, however you want to look at that. So what you said there makes perfect sense to me. I think it's a really great way to push forward that agenda. I think that more public sector not-for-profits should do that rather than seeing it as a tick box exercise. Actually, where can your stakeholders get the value? Where do they need that value from? Make it clear. If you were going to sit down with somebody today who is thinking about going into procurement, what advice would you give to them?
That's an interesting one. I've been thinking a lot about what I'd say, but I think do it. You know, procurement is great. It's one of those vocations that certainly when I came into it 10 years ago, knew very little about, but it's transformed my work life, my life in general. So I would thoroughly encourage somebody to get involved in it. There's so much breadth and depth and variety to procurement that there will never be a dull day for anybody working in it. Some of the subject matter can be quite dry, particularly around the legal side of things. But for every bit of that, you've got negotiations, you've got those sort of building of contracts and services with your stakeholders, the challenge of cost savings or avoidances or value add. There's just so many things within procurement that could appeal to anybody, really, because it's such a broad vocation in terms of what it does and what we're able to do. And with the world as it is now, and the challenges that the country is facing economically, the world is facing economically, I'm not saying procurements are, you know, the superhero, the silver bullet to all of this in terms of cost saving, but what we can do is encourage organisations to look more efficiently at how they spend their money. You know, it's the three E's ultimately, isn't it? The economy, so we can try and save you money. Efficiency, we can try and improve how you use the contracts and how you use the services. But then effectiveness and helping people deliver the services better for the money that they're spending. I've kind of gone around the houses a bit, but I think the advice I give is just get involved. It is a great vocation that is very, very underrated, apart from those that are in it and around it. And yeah, it's a career that will be very, very rewarding for whoever gets involved in it.
I could not agree more. As someone that sits on the outside of procurement looking in and is a self-confessed procurement nerd, I think there are so many things within procurement that are fascinating, whether it's social value, whether it's, you know, the other side of things with sustainability, whether your passion is the environment and you just want our public sector, our not-for-profits to deliver services that are more environmentally friendly. Whatever your driver is, it's a fantastic industry to get involved in. It's a really great vocation. As always, every time I've met you, Andrew, I've really enjoyed the conversation because I think you have some fantastic outlooks on procurement as a vocation, but also on what you do, what Stonewater do, what you deliver, and the difference that makes. So I'm really grateful for you taking the time to speak to us today and to run through your experiences and what that looks like. I very much hope that we will have you back for another podcast in the future. And I would encourage anybody that is interested in Stonewater or procurement to take a look at their website, get involved, see what they're doing, and see what difference they're making.
No, brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Hannah. I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, absolutely. Happy to come back again another time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Hannah.